Health and Fitness with David Hollywood, with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, midlandsparkhotel.com.
Midlands 103.
Hello. On this week's programme, our children bring us all around the houses, don't they? We become friends with the parents of their best friends. We stand on the side of these windswept pitches and our cars become taxis. What happens though when these parents get together to learn how to play themselves? You'll find out very shortly. Also this week we look forward to a contest between two of the best handball competitors in the world, and you'll meet Ireland's national cross-country champion who's flying the flag for the Midlands at the World Championships tomorrow morning. Many of you listening at home will be very familiar with the concept of the GAA Club because you're probably a surrogate taxi driver over the course of the weekend and for evening training sessions. This evening on Health and Fitness, we're turning the attention on the adult, on the parent. We are looking at some of the social opportunities that exist within our GAA clubs through the lens of Tullamore Camogie, and from the club, Niamh Niverin, the PRO, and Lisa Heffernan, who's a parent and a proud participant of the Come On and Chat initiative there with the club. Guys, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Dave.
As I just mentioned in our introduction there, we're talking about some of the opportunities and avenues for adults to get involved in Gaelic games, and at Tullamore Camogie, Hurl With Me and Come On and Chat are two things I really wanted to get into here. So for our listeners who might be uninitiated, talk us through what the two programmes are and what they do.
Okay, this all started through the MNAW programme, which is the Motivate, Nurture and Aspire programme that was developed between Sports Ireland and the Camogie Association. And what it does is it sets up a mentor in the club who is there to encourage adults, people who formerly played camogie, to all return to the club. It's a gateway to come back to the club. The Hurl With Me programme is a programme set up to help adults get to know the basics or even renew their skills. And it can be as simple as how to hold a hurl, shake hands with the hurl. And that's what you start off with. You go through and you end up towards the end lifting and raising the ball. Basic things, not huge at all. And from that then, it's how I got involved, is you go on to put these into practice. So then you go on to this Come On and Chat programme, which is a social way to play games. And it's adults playing games.
Okay, that's artfully explained. Thank you. And I'm very glad to have a recent participant. And as Niamh described there, Lisa, the Hurl With Me program really takes into account someone who hasn't been anywhere near the game. And I'm relatively correct in saying that would be your kind of experience. How did you find Hurl With Me?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm from Cork, so
you should have known.
a strong hurling county, but unfortunately there was no camogie in my club growing up. It was quite a small club, so I haven't previously played camogie. So how I ended up with Hurl With Me and Come On With Chats is I'm new to the area. I moved here in kind of late 2021. My daughter started playing under six camogie the following year, and through that I got introduced to the concept of Hurl With Me. It was kind of pitched for me as someone that hasn't played before to learn the basics so that I'd be able to play then with my daughter and help her along. And just as Niamh said, it really was from how you hold the hurl, or hurley as we call it in North Cork, to raising the slitter and eventually, you know, making contact and hitting. So spent a month doing that in May, and through that then was introduced to Come On and Chat. So for me, it was great to have a social outlet to meet people, and to create a bunch of friends that, you know, we socialise together, we play together on a Monday evening. Mm. Obviously having time to hone those skills and improve as much as I can on the hurling side of things. But yeah, for me it was just a really good way to meet new people. It's got a sense of community. There's a lot of the moms that are playing on a Monday whose daughters are playing underage, so
sure,
they're all kind of getting to know each other, which is really nice. I'm just going
on. Well, so I wanted to ask you, What were your feelings like when you kind of decided to take the plunge? Were you a little bit anxious about getting involved in it? And, you know, did you fear that you'd be overly self-conscious, this type of stuff?
Definitely. I'm not sporty, I would say. I'm really, really bad at catching a ball, or my hand-to-eye coordination is not great, and I was really nervous. But Claire, who was actually the coach for the Hurl With Me session, was fantastic in that I could go to her on a kind of a one-to-one and say, look, these are the areas I'm not confident in, and, you know, in a group setting I'm finding it a little bit difficult. So she was great in terms of, she'd kind of take me on one-to-one for that. And then entering the social scene, I'll be honest, like, I was a bit dubious of we're going to play, it's not going to be competitive, and then we're going to have tea after. I was like, what is going on here? But obviously the more I got into it, the more enjoyable it was. We don't have tea absolutely every evening. Sometimes we spend too much time chatting during the game or during the break that we don't have time for tea in the end. And the good thing is, well, there's no commitment. So, you know, we've got busy lives, you know, people are working full time, kids, the works. There's no commitment that you have to be there every Monday evening, or that you have to make a match if we have it, or a blitz, which is a rare occasion now that we have a match or a blitz. So it's really nice to know that if you can't make it, there's no issues.
Niamh, the dynamic that Lisa described there of how easygoing it sounds, you must observe then in your role in the club and your involvement that this happens on multiple occasions. People arrive at the club maybe a little bit distant, they're there for their child or whatever it is, they take the first tentative step towards opening up and maybe allowing themselves to risk to get to know people and put their name and their face out there. It must be lovely to watch that process happen and see people genuinely develop their sense of place in the community and the club.
It is, yeah, and there's a place for everybody. And just, even if you're the parent who's looking on as your child is training, that's fine. It's amazing how many people would just even get to know one another because you're the same group and you're moving through the age groups with the same groups. Because you'll have an overlap some years, because it's every 2 years, you'll kind of meet parents and they'll move on, and then you'll meet the new ones coming up. And, you know, that's lovely. For us on the social scene, it's nice to meet new people all the time. It's nice to have people come join the club. It's nice to see the different dynamics. Like, we've one or two girls who played before, and just even to learn from them is great. I'd be like Lisa, I came to this afresh, so I'm still trying to find my way through this.
It's a remarkable game as well. Like, it's so skillful and technical. There's no ceiling as to how good you could get at it if you kept on working or whatever, you know?
Yeah, well, don't for one moment think I'm at that level. No, or anywhere near it.
But that's the great thing about the game, is it's there for you to kind of get as good at as you want or as you feel you can.
But the programme, the Hurl With Me programme and the Come On and Chat programme is set up that, you know, you're not allowed to run with the ball on the hurl because not everyone can do it. So the skills that we would do in matches, everyone has to do.
Perfect.
And they're the basics everyone has. So, now, in fairness, at our last blitz, there was a group from Inniscarra. Oh my God, they were mighty. To see them play, it was, they obviously had played it for years, and they just picked it up, and they didn't even, it was like they didn't even have to think about it. The schlitter was already up the field. They were fantastic to watch, but they were doing the very same strokes as we were, because you're confined to strokes, and that's the beauty of it. You're just watching these people going, wow.
Yeah. But you can play together because of how it's set up in that respect.
Exactly. You're not annihilated on the pitch.
And you don't feel, it's so social and it's so friendly that, you know, the person that you're marking, you know, it's not like you see in a competitive game.
There's no sledging or whatever.
Chats, you know, you could miss the ball at some stages because you're so busy having the chats, getting to know, like, oh, when do you guys meet?
That's brilliant.
How often do you go out? Yeah.
And Lisa, is there a spread of ages? Like, do we get a sort of a nice, healthy mix of people at
the
club?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I don't want to give away anyone's age.
Fair, yeah.
But I think there's probably at least a, oh God, when I think about it now, there's at least a 20-year spread.
Probably,
yeah. From, I would say, kind of early to mid-30s.
Yes.
All the way up.
As long as you can run and hold a hurl, you're fine.
And if you're not confident running and you're not, you know, you're not fit, you can stay in goals and, you know, it's so easy. You can make it work for you and take breaks. It's there's really no pressure at all. So
let's talk about some of the benefits then, Niamh, because there's the social side of things, but then there's the simple act of being out and being physically active. And as you heard, as Lisa was saying there, if there's a spread of ages and a range of ages, if it's something that we can do regularly as we get older, it sounds like the kind of ideal balance of exercise, but not like destructively intense or anything like that.
No, I find it great. I wasn't fit coming to the sport. I don't feel fit now either, to be honest. But I feel that I'm less unfit than I was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'd say and you're pretty fit after marking you last week. That was giving me a run for my money.
Thanks, Lisa. But the thing with the Come On and Chat and the thing with the Hurl With Me programme is you do it at your pace. Mm. And we all have a different pace that we work at. We all have different skills. Some people, you know, like Jer pucks out from the goals and it... She was called the Rocket in one of the matches we had at one stage because it goes a distance. You know, that's a huge skill to have that I don't have. And if you're sending it up the pitch, you don't have to run after it. Do you know? So you pitch it at what you can do. And that's the reason why it's sociable, is because it's what you can do. And you're under no pressure to be Ireland's fittest family or anything like that. It's just what you can do. And you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days.
It's also quite motivating, though, I feel, because you do, like, it definitely does help your fitness, and you'll see from kind of day one to however many weeks later, because you do want to be able to get around the pitch and to get the ball. So I find for me it's also quite motivating to keep me kind of more active during the week, because I don't want to do all this work on a Monday night and then just do nothing for the rest of the week. So it is also motivating, I feel, to kind of keep me more health and fitness aware for the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's that makes sense, and it's great to hear that everybody comes to it with their own sort of idiosyncratic skill and their own ability, and that's more celebrated than anything. We've got loads to talk about with the guys from Tullamore here, Tullamore Camogie. Why do people give of their time to clubs and to their community? Well, I've got a couple of people in here who have agreed to answer this question, even though they're not expecting it in this form. Niamh Niverin, the PRO from Tullamore Camogie, and Lisa Heffernan, who's a parent and a participant of Come On and Chat. Niamh, I just want to get your perspective. You're doing PRO work with the club at the moment, and why is it that you find yourself doing that? Like, there's a lot in it. I know from speaking to other people involved in Gaelic Games, the volunteer aspect, it almost overrides the rest of life aspect in certain respects. Why do you do it?
Why do I do it? Because my child is involved. It's giving back to the club. A lot of people give their time to coach my kids in Tullamore GAA, in the Camogie Club. There's a lot of people there in the background who make sure that we have pitches to play on, that we have equipment that we need, that blitzes are organised for the kids. There's an awful lot that goes on. This is one thing I can give back to the club. And I'm happy to do it.
So talk to me about the rewards then from your perspective, because it can be taxing. You might be staying up late one evening to take care of X, Y, and Z when really you want to have the TV on and not be thinking about it or whatever. But you must get something out of it as well beyond you sort of satisfying that sense of obligation.
I think the best example I can give is the other day I was taking a photograph of the other 10 group and I just had them all lined up and I was ready to take the photograph and one of them piped up going, "Are we going to be in the papers?" And I just thought... The little happy voice that said this back to you, that just hits home and goes, "Aww." That's why you do it. It's the kind of element that you bring to the club. You can raise spirits. You can make them feel good about themselves. And all I'm doing is just, for me, it's just putting words on a page, telling a story, having a photograph to go with it. But to somebody else who's out there playing, who might be playing a game, who's learning a new skill. And sometimes these little underage people, they struggle raising a ball. They might struggle at doing something. But there's this whole other world that they can look into. Like, my photograph was in the paper.
A big deal for the under sixes and the under eights, and it really does. It does make
huge.
A difference. It's got pride of place at the bedroom. They get their little medal and their photograph at the end of the year, and no matter how they've taken part over the summer, or how many trainings they have missed or not missed, or how many blitzes they've made, they all get their little photograph, and it's so special to them. Yeah. And it's very cute.
You mentioned blitzes, so I want to understand what is going on in Abbottstown, Niamh. An adult blitz? I thought that these were solely reserved for children.
No, we have what we call our social camogie blitzes, and they're run so as that new clubs taking on Hurl With Me and Come On and Chats programmes can come, play, chat, try their skills, and just meet other clubs who've been there. And it's just a world of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I think traveling as well, kind of en masse as a group for me. we had a blitz last September also there, and it was really good for bonding, I think, for all of the girls. As I said, traveling en masse, it was just a whole new experience. I've never played in, you know, pitches like that or I'm not going to say competitive, but you know, it felt
stand there and go, oh sorry, here, no,
yeah, it felt competitive.
I will give you the ball. That wasn't it. We ran for the ball, we challenged for the ball, but we didn't, it wasn't rough, it wasn't you know, right, I'm going to get it and I'm going in now to get it. It was, I'm going for it, if I get it I get it, and if not I'll go oops.
It was very enjoyable, I would say. And afterwards as well, we were on such a high. We came back to Tullamore, was like, I'm going to have to go for a drink after that.
It's just,
we felt like a real team. Was like, I think we need to get some gear with our initials on it and gear bags. So looking forward to this one now coming up in April.
But you know what, it made the winter training as well for us though, because it was something to look forward to again, that we could be doing these blitzes again, because we spent the winter training at Mucklagh Community Centre. So we've gone through the winter doing indoor training. Now we're going out to the pitch.
Yes.
Fingers crossed they're all drying up on the 6th of April for the summer season. You know, it kind of keeps you going, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It was.
It's something to look forward to.
You know, rather than take the chance of taking the winter off, we didn't. We were all really keen to go to Auckland on a Monday night.
And Lisa, does it surprise you how much you're into this and how much you're getting out of it?
And all my family and friends at home really? Cannot believe it and think it is the wildest thing ever. I'm not naturally sporty. It doesn't come natural to me at all. But it's more, and I don't mean the social side of it in terms of the tea and chats, but just the crack, like, and lots of like-minded people going through the same kind of challenges in life, just getting out for a Monday night and being able to switch off. Like, I find it really good as well. Like, I've had a busy day at work and life is crazy, to just go out there for an hour and run around Mucklagh Hall, and you know, it really just kind of clears the mind. I can't believe that I'm still here. Like, there were times where on the skill side of things, I was struggling, and if it hadn't been for the social side of things and how much it gives well beyond the skills, I probably would have given up. So if it was competitive, I'd be gone. Like, definitely, I'd be gone. But because it's not, I'm there every Monday night.
But I have to say, the group is just a lovely, lovely, lovely group of girls.
It is.
And we're all just friends. It's just lovely. Yeah. It's what you want out of life, is a good group of friends that you can go and have a common interest, have a bit of fun and come away feeling great.
So if people listening aren't currently involved with their local camogie club, or they want to get involved with Hurl With Me or Come On and Chat, is it the club is welcoming new members, generally speaking, I'm sure?
Yes, we have our underage groups now up and running. The under sixes are the last group to come online, so they'll be starting up now shortly. Claire, who did the Hurl With Me programme last year, she kind of towards the end of April now will come down to the club, and she'll meet and greet the parents, and she'll start going, this is the Hurl With Me programme. Come yeah, join us.
That's how it happens. You get a leaflet and you feel you should go.
Yeah. And she'll be down. She'll run the Hurl With Me programme usually around the month of May.
Okay.
And that's how it'll take off. Hopefully now the Blitz, as the PR, this is my PRO kind of officer role coming out now. I'm hoping that after we have this Blitz, we'll have some lovely photographs. Must line someone up to do all the photographs for us. And, you know, we'll do a feature on it. And hopefully that'll raise interest. Now, a lot of parents will turn around and go, are you kidding me? I can't hold a hurl. But they'll still be invited. And it's up to them whether they choose to come or not. But they're always invited. I think always invited.
If they listen to this evening, they'll be particularly tempted, because what shines through is both your enthusiasm and the enjoyment that you guys are getting out of it. So it's great to get that sense off both of you. And I'm really grateful for both of you coming in. Lisa Heffernan, Niamh Ní Bhriain, thanks for coming in to us.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Next on the show, we're looking forward to a particularly special contest. I know a lot of people in the handball world are very excited about the meeting of Robbie McCarthy and Paul Brady. This is in the 4-wall 40x20 All-Ireland Senior Handball Final. PRO with Leinster Handball, Frank Semple, joins us on the programme to look forward to it. Frank, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Pleasure to be here, Dave. Thank you indeed for inviting me onto the show.
Now, everyone in the Midlands knows Robbie McCarthy as being one of the best handball players that this country has produced in the first place. He really is the pride of the Midlands in a lot of respects. But he's up against Paul Brady this weekend, and it's certainly a game that has a lot of people excited.
Well, Robbie is a three-time All-Stars selection from the GA handball over the years. He's also won a huge amount of titles as a senior player, about 20 in total. In this particular code, the 4-wall 40x20 code, he's actually won 5 senior titles. He's actually competed in 8 finals, lost 3 of them. And 2 of those losses were to Paul Brady from Cavan across the lake there, north of Mullingar. So the intensity is absolutely fantastic, and the prospect that lies ahead is just been talked about for many months and a year turning when Paul decided to go in for this tournament, and Robbie is up for the challenge. He's made it to the final. They're playing there now this coming Saturday. Saturday week. The games start at 9 o'clock, and their game is scheduled for 1 o'clock. It's a fantastic prospect. It's going to be televised by TGA Cahir and through their YouTube network, and it's going to be watched by many people around the world, including people who would be looking forward to a world championship clash with either of these two guys, because that's the quality of the person they're talking about. Both of these guys are absolutely super athletes and have achieved an awful lot in their lifetime, and are really, really the watch of the day.
Okay.
Next Saturday week.
And Frank, what's the nature of the relationship and the rivalry between these two players and in handball generally? Like, I know a lot of sports lend themselves to intense rivalries, a bit of enmity. Other sports, people are more collegiate and supportive. When it comes to Robbie McCarthy and Paul Brady, when you see them against each other, what's the sense of their rivalry and relationship?
Well, all the ingredients are there. From a GAA perspective, it's Cavan versus Westmeath. It's a club, Kings Court in Paul's case, versus Mullingar in Robbie's case. It's rivalry at this level. These guys are looking at the titles won and clicking in another title to their substantial record. And that's what these guys are all about. Superior serial winners. And that's what gives you innate competitive seeking advantage. They're both be seeking a competitive advantage from any aspect of the game that they can, either physical, mentally, psychologically or tactically. They'll be looking at all of those elements to try and get it over the line for their success and for their county success, of course, and the supporters and the families of Robbie McCarthy would be extensive, with in particular his colleagues in the army and former colleagues in the Navy. And on the other side too, Paul he's an education guy. He's a principal in the school up there in Cavan, and he'll have a lot of support from that. his family network, which is very intense and very tight. And it's a wonder in handball that it's that's really amazing to witness that type of thing. It's really fantastic. The closeness is great. And the rivalry goes with it. It's friendly at the end of it, but certainly in the run-up to it, it's really, really competitive. And
you mentioned, Frank, there the ways in which the two of them will be looking at each other physically, tactically, strategically. How tactical is handball? How strategic is it? To what degree does brain overcome brawn when it comes to these games?
Well, the pressure is on the guys from during the game. Obviously, they've got to control the ball, and they've got to control where his opponent is. So tactically and strategically, you're trying to put a boy back to the back wall or through the front wall, and then put it in the opposite direction. That's not easy done with these guys who have supreme physical fitness. It's not easy, but they have to do it, and they have to do it in a flash. There's no thinking. It just has to be automatic. And that's the brings its own mental pressure and awareness. This game could go on for an hour and a half longer. And that is a very demanding physically on the person and mentally and psychologically. But they'll be bringing all the resources that they have experienced over the years, winning world titles. Paul Brady is the world title 5 times. Robert is the doubles winner 3 times. Two times. He lost one of them. But various other codes come into it. Robert is expert in the hard ball game. He's an expert in the softball game. He's been in 13 finals in the softball game. He's won 10 of them. A vastly experienced player. Grew up with 2 super players and played handball all the time. So all their resources are going to come, and it's going to be intuition that's going to do the game for them. That'll be their big game. It'll be all intuitive. It'll be just a great spectacular thing to see for anybody.
And where is the game taking place? I know we mentioned it's on Saturday week, so that's not this weekend coming, but the 6th of April. Where exactly is it? If people fancy the sound of this and they want to get down to maybe cheer on someone from Westmeath, for instance.
Yeah, well, it's in Croke Park, the National Handball Centre in Croke Park. It was just opened up there in the last couple of years. £16 million project. Show court is there, second to none. It's the best court in the world, without doubt. It's where the World Championship is going to be this year. Croke Park is where you go. The tickets are on. You can be bought online. There's old age pension provisions as well as there is for juveniles. But that's where it is. Croke Park and Sackville Avenue entrance. That's the Ballybox side of Croke Park.
Good stuff. And I'd say the atmosphere and the noise in that kind of space must be tremendous.
Well, the atmosphere will be electric. But I have in handball, spectators are very quiet because it's a serious. It's a bit like snooker. The audience are there, but they don't cheer people. They cheer people on, but they don't get raucous during the game.
Okay.
I was at a game last night in Ballymore Usus where your famous man Mike Foster was there to present medals, and the referee had to tell us to stay quiet during the game because the players need to be able to concentrate, and you can't do that if there's too much noise outside. So with all due respect to players, the audience, stay quiet.
Very good. Okay, so that's certainly one to look forward to, a real highlight in the handball calendar. And just before we were talking to yourself, Frank, I was speaking to Tullamore Camogie, their PRO and one of the adults and participants of Come On and Hurl at the club there. And we were talking about participation and just the benefits that the sport of camogie, for instance, brings to parents coming back to sport and to the community more broadly. In handball as well, it's got its place in the community, and for a lot of people across the country, no less the Midlands, it's a real important outlet to get that physical exercise, but to also to engage socially as well, I imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a great emphasis on children and parents taking part. And the reality is that parents bring children to games so that they have to take part in that way. But there's also outlets for parents to actually play the game because handball has different levels of competition. There's the senior guys who we just spoke about, Robert and Paul. And then there's other levels down the way who wouldn't reach those heights. But there's certainly opportunity for people to get involved at any level in the game and at any age. The game I mentioned yesterday was for over 70s. So the people
fantastic.
Were grandparents over 70 years of age. It was incredible to see it, to witness it. It was fantastic indeed. And that goes right down to under 13s or 12s and failing the Gael and Gael Inn and all these team competitions. So the benefits for both that age group, the whole range of age group, is that the physical benefit is obviously important because you have to move to play the game and you have to think what you're doing. You have to be able to coordinate your brain with the ball. So that takes a lot of activity, and that's a very good exercise, a very good mental exercise.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of activity there. It's a family. There's a lot of family element to the game as well. So this year, being the centenary of the handball, organised GA handball, there's a lot of emphasis on tournaments and clubs focusing on what they were doing for the last 100 years and so on. And that brings families into it and grandparents who in the past may have played, or people like that, or memories of people who are two generations ago. So that's all a family connection thing in a historical type of framework. So a very interesting year ahead in relation to the celebration of the 100 years. The benefits are really terrific. School teaching and coaching, training school children to take part and represent our school, to represent our club, our county. You know, it's just endless. It's absolutely fantastic. And the other real thing about it is that this game can be played anywhere in the world. And the GAA are fully behind that now with the World Games. And handball is an integral part of that and will be going forward. So the opportunities for families to go abroad on a holiday, and could be a handball holiday to Valencia or wherever they want to go, that can happen. It's all very possible. So they're really strong benefits to have. You know, they will be good for your health, and it's all possible.
Finally, Frank, it sounds like handball's going through a bit of a reawakening in GAA circles. I'm seeing more walls being used. I'm seeing more evidence of clubs being active in the community. And obviously, when it comes to the high profile matches, a great advertisement for the game next weekend. In your life, in your experience, how has that trajectory been in terms of people's awareness of handball and their engagement in the sport?
Well, absolutely. Well, yeah, when I began to play handball, I played on the street. As a street game, and it was terrific. We loved it. It was generally through RTE's famous program, The Top Ace, which featured Pat Kirby and Joey Marr and Des Dillon and all these great characters, and huge, similar to rugby and Paul this weekend, that caliber. And through the years, it has developed into this wonderful thing. The four codes has allowed to give people different opportunities to play different games to suit them. But really the game changer is kind of the one wall handball, where you can put up a wall in the school and have school children in an activity during school times that they can easily play. So that's a big game. That's the biggest game changer I've seen. And then to witness the games played around Europe, and you've been in Europe several times, and it's all there. They're just great opportunities that were not around back in the day. But I think the GAA now have realised the benefit of what a real world game is, and handball, and Robbie McCarthy and Paul Brady, they are the leaders in world handball championships. Yeah. They are the men for the occasion, and are well. Both of them are well up for it. I can't wait to get to the game myself, and it's going to be super. I hope I can get a ticket.
Well, look, I hope you can get a ticket too, Frank. Robbie McCarthy and Paul Brady take part, compete against each other in the All-Ireland Senior Handball Final 4 Wall 40 by 20 at GAA HQ in Croke Park on Saturday week. Frank,
It's a generational sport. It's a world sport. And it's a sport we're very happy to celebrate here on Health and Fitness on Midlands 103. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much, David. Appreciate it.
Now, 8 Irish athletes are pulling on the green singlet this weekend to represent Ireland at the World Cross Country Championships. They're taking place in Belgrade on Saturday. That is tomorrow as we record. I'm very glad to say joining us from Belgrade is Danielle Dunnigan, a Tullamore Harriers and Irish runner. Danielle, you're on the eve of a big race. So I imagine from a competitor and an athletic perspective, you kind of go a bit mad during these hours just waiting for the next day to roll around.
Yeah, there's a mix of nerves and excitement, I suppose. We're just back there from walking the course this morning, which was good to see. It's quite a flat course. They threw in a few kind of man-made bridges and a few obstacles, so yeah, it was good to see the course before it, just to know what we're up against tomorrow.
Speaking of the course then, since you brought it up, the European Cross Country Championships you ran in Belgium, like, that was unbelievably testing. Aside from it being flat, are you expecting it to be particularly soft underfoot, or it's a fast course as well?
So we actually ran on it today. It's quite a fast course. The weather in Belgrade is really hot this weekend. It was up to 25 degrees and it's up to about 28 tomorrow. So the ground is very firm. it's a flat course, like it's a fast course, which probably what we're not used to all cross country season because it was such a mucky year. But I'm looking forward to testing myself out on the course tomorrow.
How do you find the difference then? Is it like an Irish athlete thing or it's specific to just an individual person, whether or not they go better in the more gluey, testing, sticky kind of stuff? How would you fare on this sort of fast track tomorrow?
I think it probably just depends on the person. I do love the muck, and I probably perform best in the muck. Like, a lot of my best performances were on like the mucky grounds, but it'll still be like such a tough race tomorrow, and like with the obstacles and stuff, it's going to be, they'll slow it down, and I think they've added in a bit of like a mucky patch, which I can't see being like too mucky, but it will be different to the races I'm used to all this cross country season. But it's 10k, which is 3k more than Europeans were in Brussels, so yeah, that will make a difference as well. I think I probably prefer the longer distance, so hopefully not go out too hard at the start and work my way through.
Easier said than done, obviously. So apart from it being a longer race, it's also a senior international race, a world championships no less, obviously, but you were running in the under 23s bracket up until now representing Ireland. What will it mean to you as a senior to pull on the green singlet and run representing, you know, your community and your club and, of course, your country?
It's a very big day for me. I didn't expect this day to probably come so soon. I thought maybe I'd keep working for a few years and try to get a senior best at some stage. But yeah, I'm over the moon to get selected for the World Cross so soon after coming out of the under 23 age group. But it's great. There's a great support system behind me in my club and just everyone around the country. It's such an honour to put on the Irish vest and represent our country tomorrow.
You are the national cross-country champion. You top 10 in the European under 23s in what was a really, really hot race and a really testing race. What do you think's gone so well for you, or what are the things that have been working for you recently that's kind of propelled you to this point?
To be honest, I think just patience and just keep training away and working away at it. Like, I didn't actually change a whole lot, and last summer I had a really frustrating summer, like, where I was training so hard and very much the same as I am now, but I just couldn't perform well at all, and it was just really frustrating. But and everyone just kept telling me, like, it will click, like, your day will come, and like, it's like the last thing you want to hear at the time. But like, yeah, this like cross country season has really just clicked for me, and it's, yeah, it's such a relief, to be honest. But yeah, I think just keep showing up and keep doing what you're doing and putting in the work. Like I'm working full time, but I'm still getting the miles in and getting like gym work. Strength and condition is probably one thing I've changed a little bit. Just focusing on that more to kind of just make myself stronger, especially in the muck and over the hills and stuff. So yeah, it's kind of just it's a lot of work that has gone on the last probably 10 years that's just finally starting to work for me.
I suppose there's a message there for every club runner as well, who finds that they're putting the mileage in and not getting the reward for it, that it if you keep putting in that work, it won't lie, and eventually it will come through. You mentioned you're maybe doing a little bit more in terms of strengthening in the gym and that type of thing. Just talk us through briefly, if you can, what are the kind of exercises that you're doing as a runner, as a cross-country runner, to give you that physical strength in your frame to be able to run with more power or have more stamina or whatever it is?
I gym twice a week. But yeah, I think it is very kind of different for every individual, but I found my calves and my hamstrings were just very weak. So I've been working on them a lot over the winter months, and just working with Colin Griffin, just with a proper strength and conditioning plan, and kind of tweaking that every couple of months or every couple of weeks, just to keep building and keep getting stronger.
Okay, so it's specific to the individual, and I suppose if anyone listening finds that there's, you probably learn a bit about your body when you run out of energy in races, and you can then think about maybe what's malfunctioning and work on that from a strengthening perspective. Is that making any sense for what I'm saying there, or am I totally off the mark?
Exactly. Yeah, you kind of just have to find your strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, I wouldn't be the fastest athlete. I tend to kind of just go better over the longer stuff. So I think I have quite a good aerobic base, whereas like if you put me in a sprint, I'd be very slow. Like, so, yeah, you just kind of have to play and learn what your strengths and weaknesses are and work on them. Just keep building on them.
Well, building is what you've been doing. A final question, and it's not necessarily fair, but I kind of always have to ask it, is what kind of psychological approach are you bringing towards the idea of an objective for tomorrow? Is it just go out there and run your race as you have pre-planned, or you've got a specific goal in mind?
Well, it's my first senior international debut, so it's, yeah, I don't really know what to expect, especially like I've never ran a world cross. It's just so different to Europeans, because yeah, there's just, you know, there's just such a different standard of athletes. I'm going to be there tomorrow, but Fiona Everard is also on the team, and I've raced against her quite a lot lately, so it's good to have her in the race, just to kind of keep an eye on her and, you know, work off each other and push through the field together maybe. And then I've raced a few of the English girls as well, so it'll be good to kind of keep an eye on them and just, yeah, I'm not really sure what to expect, but it'll be a great experience anyways to build on in the future and hopefully come back in another few years again and give it a go.
Yeah, well, we're going to be watching on with great interest tomorrow here in the Midlands. You're flying the flag for the region as well as the Tullamore Harriers, and of course, and most importantly for Ireland. The best of luck to yourself and Fiona and the rest of the Irish cross-country team at the World Championships. Danielle Dunnigan, thanks for joining us on Health and Fitness this evening.
Thanks so much.